Today we'll be looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. We'll pick up in verse 6. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 6. This chapter, and part of chapter 2, shows Paul's feelings for the church at Thessalonica. Paul had to leave that city under bad circumstances. He had to leave because he was being persecuted. But he still thought often and much about these Christians. He wondered how they were doing, and he felt some anxiety over their condition. He wanted to go back and visit these people, but he was hindered. Finally, when he was in Athens, he sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to see how they were doing and to let Paul know how they were doing. Timothy went, and when he came back to Paul, he told him that the church in Thessalonica was doing fine. Let's pick up in verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. Notice what Paul says here. Paul says that Timothy came back with good tidings. That means good news. Now remember, before this time, Paul didn't know exactly how they were doing. That's why he felt uneasy about them. He knew that there was persecution in that city, and the Bible tells us in verse 5 that he said, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, when I could no longer stand it, he said, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, that is the devil, have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Paul didn't want his work there to be in vain. He wanted these people to be faithful. And the Bible says that he sent Timothy back there, and Timothy came back with good news. The Bible says that Timothy brought us good tidings, that is good news, of your faith and charity. So these people at Thessalonica had not lost their faith. They held on to their faith, and they were growing. They had not given up their love or charity. They were continuing in it. And the Bible tells us that not only was it the case that Paul wanted to see them, but they wanted to see Paul as much as he wanted to see them. He says in verse 6 that Timothy came back not only with good news of your faith and charity, but also that you have good remembrance of us always. You didn't forget us. You're thinking about us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, in verse 7, he said, "Brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." Now, notice what's happening here. He says in verse 7, "Brethren, we were comforted." Now, why would Paul need comforting? Well, he says, because of our afflictions. People were afflicting Paul and these other Christians in word and in deed. And so Paul had it hard as far as his life was concerned as well. He mentions also the word distress here. That's a word that can refer to calamities, and it can refer to the despair and the stress that you feel on the inside when you're going through those kinds of trials. Now, Paul was concerned about these people. Notice what it says. "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you." That means that Paul had been uneasy. Why? Because they were being persecuted. And Paul had some fear, he had some anxiety, that they might not endure it. And this is a very human feeling. It is common for us to be afraid that people that we love might not make it through hard times. We fear, for instance, that our children are going to have to struggle and that they might get hurt, and we want to protect them. But hardships serve a purpose. They make us stronger when we get through them by faith. And these Christians at Thessalonica grew stronger through these trials instead of growing weaker and giving up. But that didn't prevent Paul from feeling uneasy about them. So it's ironic how this situation turned out. Paul was anxious about their condition. He was concerned about their sufferings. So concerned that he sent Timothy back to comfort them. Notice what it says in verse 2. "He sent Timothy back to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." And yet, when Timothy came back to Paul, The news of how these Christians were dealing with their troubles encouraged Paul in all his troubles, and the Bible says in verse 7, Paul said, "We were comforted." So he sent Timothy to comfort them, but when Timothy got back with the good news, Paul himself was comforted. So it all worked out good in the long run. And stop and think about the importance of Timothy here. We might be tempted to look at Paul and think that he's the only important one in this situation because he's telling these people where to go and what to teach at these places to comfort and to teach and to build up these people. But notice how significant Timothy's role is. Timothy is sent back to the Thessalonian church, so he teaches them and he comforts them. So he has the reward of knowing that he helped those Christians. Then when he comes back to the Apostle Paul, he encourages Paul. So there is a double reward. There is a double fulfillment in the life of Timothy here because he's not only assisted, he has not only supported a church, but now he comes back and he's able to encourage the Apostle Paul. It's good also at this point to pause and to consider a few other lessons and a few other observations about what we're looking at. First of all, our anxiety, like Paul's, many times is over things that we don't know. Paul was unsure about the situation at Thessalonica, and that caused him to be uneasy. That lack of knowledge on our part oftentimes causes us to be anxious as well. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8, verses 6 and 7, "Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be?" Not knowing what is happening, not knowing how people that we love are doing, and not knowing what is going to happen causes us to feel uneasy. And some of that is unavoidable. Sometimes we can't do anything about that. We certainly don't know the future. But there are times when we can find out, and that brings us to another practical lesson here. That is, this is why communication is so important. Paul was concerned about people, and when he was, he oftentimes sent someone to find out, someone like Timothy. And then he waited, and he prayed to God in the meantime. Christians need to talk with each other. They need to share their needs. They need to talk about their problems with each other, and they need to share their joys as well. The Bible says in James 5, verse 14, "Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church." Now, among other things in that passage, we simply see a communication taking place between those members and the elders of that church. In Romans 12, verse 15, the Bible says, "To rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep." There is no way to do that unless we know, and there's no way to know unless we communicate. There's another lesson here in what we're looking at in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and it's this. When we see other people bearing heavy burdens, it helps us to carry ours. Look again at verse 7. Paul said, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." It made Paul feel uneasy to know that these people were suffering, but it greatly encouraged Paul to know that they were enduring that suffering, that they were bearing those heavy burdens in life. Now, the same thing happened with Paul's relationship to the church at Corinth. Paul was concerned and even hurt about that congregation. But when Titus came to Paul after visiting the church at Corinth, Paul himself was encouraged by the condition of the church there at Corinth, the same church that he had concerns about. We read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. There's something else about this that ought to encourage us as well, and that is, many times, bad news turns out to be good news. For instance, we hear that a Christian has a serious illness or has had a bad accident, or that a child of God has lost a loved one. And when we first hear, we may think, what a tragedy, how sad, and how can this person make it? How is this person going to survive and endure this? But then, when we see how they're handling it, when we see how that they're holding on to their faith, that they're going forward in spite of all the pain and all the loss, we feel encouraged and good inside to know about it. And we say to ourselves, if they can do it, so can I. And here's another practical lesson that we can see from what we're reading here in this chapter. And that is that Christians don't get to see each other as much as they would like or as often as they would like in this lifetime. Paul really wanted to see these people. He says in verse 8, "For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord." And read verses 9 and 10 and look at the love and the concern that Paul has for these people. "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." And so what we find in the Christian life is that the longer you live the Christian life, the more you'll miss getting to talk to Christians that you have known for years and that have moved on, or that circumstances just won't permit you to see them. There are times when we feel just like Paul. We'd like to visit more with Christians, especially those that we haven't seen in a while and that we really love. But this is one of the great joys of heaven. This will be one of the great blessings of eternal life in heaven, and that is being able to be with Christians that we haven't seen in years. Being able to be with Christians that we didn't have the time to visit with as often as we wanted to in this life. Reuniting with Christians that died before we did. And of course, meeting up with Christians, children of God throughout the ages that we have never met. Not even to mention going all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the faithful of God that we read about in the Bible. Now, looking at what Paul says here, Paul's hope still was that he could go back to Thessalonica. Look at verse 11. He says, "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." Paul knew that Satan had hindered him. He says that back in chapter 2. But he also knew that Satan can only do that as far as God allows him. And so Paul knows that God is able in his providence to, as he says here, direct our way unto you. And he also hopes in verse 12 and prays that the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. Notice the word increase here. These people loved each other, but Paul says, I want you to increase. And look at chapter 4, verse 9. In chapter 4, verse 9, he says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." And this is exactly what these people did. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes back later to these same people, and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds." And notice as that second epistle opens up, that Paul mentions the tribulation and the persecution that they had endured, and yet their faith and love had not grown cold. Paul goes on in verse 13 to say, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here again he mentions the coming of the Lord. He says, "The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Now it is true that later, in chapter 4, verse 14, he says that Jesus is going to bring the dead in Christ with him. It could be that these are the saints that he's talking about here in chapter 3, verse 13. But there's another possibility. It could be that by the word saints, he means the angels, because the word saints means holy ones. And we know that the angels are coming with him as well. In Jude 14, the Bible says that he's going to come with 10,000s of his saints. There it appears he's talking about the angels. But either way, these truths are taught in the Bible, and Paul ends this chapter talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ again.